Hare Hare. Just checking to see who's here. I don't need any introduction. I think I know everybody. Always nice to come back to see the same faces. Of course, it's nice to come back and see new faces too, but there's some new faces here. I think there's a few. Yes, I think I've never met you before. You look no. When was the last time I was here? December, yes. Okay, I don't have much time to speak, so I just was reading this afternoon in a particular place, so I'm going to read from this place, from Shibhaktiloka. It's on an important topic, I think, at least for everyone who's here, probably. I think it may bear some relevance. And for those who may not yet be practicing sadhana bhakti, still we can, it may be relevant to how to come to that platform. Very important teachings from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur about association. And association, Srila Prabhupada always emphasized as to be the major criteria for being able to make progress in spiritual life. What is favorable association? What is unfavorable association? Because to the degree that we associate in a favorable way with those who can give us inspiration, enthusiasm for making progress in spiritual life, then it becomes easier to pursue spiritual life. For those who associate with either worldly-minded persons or associate with attachments, because association comes in the form not only of those association of people, but association with objects as well. And to that degree that one associates with temporary things, to that degree one's determination for spiritual life decreases, and one becomes bewildered about the goal of life. And these points are discussed extensively by Srila Prabhupada in his books, especially there are many verses. He would oftentimes quote Asat Sangha Tyaga, E Vaishnava Achar, Stri Sankhi Ek Asadu Krishna Bhakta Ara, where he quotes Lord Chaitanya, who says, Asat Sangha Tyaga. Asat means that which is temporary. Sangha. Sangha means association. Tyaga means to renounce. One should renounce the association of worldly-minded persons. And he actually, Lord Chaitanya, gives the criteria. What are worldly-minded persons? Those who are excessively attached to the association of the opposite sex. One has to be very careful to avoid such association, because the result is, as we already explained, one becomes excessively entangled in worldly-mindedness and thoughts which actually distract us from our spiritual goals in life. Although one may have all good intentions. What is it? Is there saying the road is paved with all good intentions? The road to hell, yes, with good intentions. That's right. Well, Prahlad Maharaj says that also. For us, says Matirna Krishna Paratak Svatokva Mitopi Padyeta Griha Vritanam Adanta Gobhya Vishitam Tamisham Punak Punashchavrita Charvananam. Same thing. He says, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons who are very much attached towards sense gratification, they make progress towards hellish conditions of life, and they repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused either by their own efforts, by the efforts of others, or by a combination of both. So Prahlad Maharaj also speaks about this in his discussion with his classmates. So he says, the inclinations cannot be aroused even by association with others who are trying to wake them up, or by their own efforts, or even by a combination of both, because they're too much attached. So, oftentimes when we speak in this topic, people become, they may be even discouraged, or they may think that to become unattached is not something that they're interested at this particular junction in their life. But the beauty of satsanga, as opposed to asatsanga, the beauty of satsanga is that it awakens within one an inspiration, because one gets a glimpse of that, of something higher, something better. That is satsanga. Sangha is association. Sat means with that which is eternal. And although we may not be able to experience the eternality of association with Krishna in his name, or the association with Krishna in the form of his deity, our consciousness may not yet be fixed on our eternal relationship with both. By the association of satsanga with devotees, the result is that one becomes aware of the potential of such a relationship, and of not only that, it becomes attracted, especially if one sees the superiority of the association with sat as opposed to the association with asat. Because generally the association with asat leads to suffering, and the association with sat leads to a higher pleasure. So that is the beauty of satsanga. And therefore Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura here, what I'm going to read from, speaks about what is association, and he says that what is association and giving up association. He says many people have doubts about this. Doubts may be there, because if just by coming close to a materialist or a material object is considered associating with them, then there's no way to give up this association. And I bring this topic up because in the course of my travels, and I do travel extensively, it is a common, very common question of those who are aspiring to make progress but always feel themselves getting dragged down by what they say is unavoidable association. Because in their work, sometimes in their family, sometimes amongst their acquaintances, their neighbors, people that they can't, you know, somehow they feel an obligation towards that they can't immediately just cut off. They feel that because of these worldly obligations in the association of such people, that it's very difficult for them to remain fixed in their determination for spiritual life. And if I have this, get the question, well, how do I deal with this? And this is, of course, applies primarily because many of these teachings in Sri Bhakti Aloka are for householders. I mean, and Bhaktivinoda Thakura makes a distinction, and we'll even read about it, for those who are householders and those who are renunciates. But many of those to whom he was preaching were in householder life. And therefore, because householders have to earn a means of livelihood, they have to associate with so many other people besides being able to live in an ashram and live only amongst renunciates, they become bewildered by how to deal with all that worldly association. I can't give up my livelihood, and therefore it seems I can't give up this association which drags me down. What hope do I have for further progress if spiritual life is all based on spiritual association? So here these questions are being addressed in a very logical way, and I'm not going to be able to finish it. Maybe I may be able to continue it at, on Sunday. We'll see. It depends. Sunday may not be the best place for it, because Sunday is generally doesn't. It's not consisting of primarily sadhakas. We'll see. But so many people have doubts about this. Doubts may be there because of just by coming close to a materialist or material object is considered associating with them, there's no way to give up this association. As long as the material body is there, how can one give up the proximity of these things? How can a Grihastha Vaishnava give up his family members? One cannot give up the association of deceitful persons, even if they are renunciates. One will have to come across materialists in one's life, whether one is a Grihastha or a renunciate. Therefore, the limit for giving up the association of materialists is prescribed in Sri Upadeshamrita as follows. And this is a well-known verse by Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita. Didati patagurinati guhyam akyati prichchati bhungte bhojayate chaiva sadvidham pitti lakshanam. So he's quoting this verse and he's saying that the limit for giving up the association of materialists is prescribed in this verse. It will define the limits. What are the parameters we set? And here the verse, translated, is offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasadam, and offering prasadam are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. So, this verse defines the parameters. And the parameters will be elaborated on in the next paragraph, but I'm going to just introduce it because it's an important topic. Because loving exchanges, generally, it's something that everyone can appreciate. They may not be able to find it. And a lot of people are frustrated due to lack of it. And but any sane person, sensitive person, reasonable person, should be attracted to the concept of having loving relationships. And loving relationships are defined in this verse. This verse defines loving relationships between devotees. And a loving relationship, according to Rupa Goswami, and according to not only in this verse from Upadeshamrita, but also from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where he describes the characteristics of love, is that the symptom of love is that when one tries to please the beloved without expecting anything in return. That's one symptom of a loving relationship. The primary symptom is to please the object, the beloved object, which in this case Rupa Goswami is speaking about in Krishna. Trying to please them in a favorable way, which is according to the desire of the person who's being served. That's favorable. So, just like if you want to please somebody, generally, if you want to please somebody, you don't think, what's going to be pleasing to me? You think, what will be pleasing for them? And even, sometimes, it's at the risk of not being pleasing to me. But if you really want to please somebody, then you're really ready to undergo and whatever inconvenience is necessary to do something that they want, that you know they want done. They want. Now, of course, in a loving relationship, which is spiritual, generally the person who wants something doesn't want anything for their own selfish purposes. That's what makes the beauty of loving relationships amongst Vaishnavas. Generally, a Vaishnava is somebody who doesn't want anything for himself because he's satisfied in his sadhana, satisfied chanting Hare Krishna, And he accepts whatever comes of its own accord without any making any extraneous effort to obtain something. And even he's so satisfied in his mood of chanting, Trinada Pisa Nichina, that he doesn't even ask anybody for anything, and he'll just accept whatever comes of its own accord. Because he's satisfied by Krishna, satisfied to chant Hare Krishna, satisfied to hear about Krishna, he's satisfied to be able to sit and to remember Krishna, he's satisfied to have the opportunity to tell others about Krishna, he's satisfied to render service to those who are always engaged in Krishna service. And he's satisfied for every opportunity to render service to Krishna. That's the source of his satisfaction. So, if you have the wonderful opportunity to render service to a Vaishnava who's actually satisfied in any condition of life, then you want to do something to please them, not because you're going to gratify their senses, but because they're so much engaged in Krishna service that by you're assisting them to serve Krishna. This is just like an example I can think of. It is a very well-known story of Sakshi Gopal and Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a story of two brahmanas who were traveling from South India to Vrindavan. It was an elderly Brahmin and there was a young Brahmin. And the young Brahmin, because he was young and healthy, and he was always eager to render service to the older Brahmin. And he was assisting, the older Brahmin had a very difficult time in his journey, but he was going to Vrindavan, to that place, to take shelter in Krishna, and take shelter in service to Krishna, remembering Krishna. And the young Brahmin was thinking, I'm assisting this Vaishnava, and I'm rendering all kinds of service to help him, because he's Krishna conscious. So, of course, as the story goes, and it's a long story, and I won't have time to tell it, and we'll digress too much, but I want to bring it to the essence, which is the young Brahmin rendered such nice service to the elderly Brahmin that the elderly Brahmin was saying to the young Brahmin, I want to offer my daughter in marriage to you for all the wonderful service you've been rendering to me. And the younger Brahmin said, but you're a very aristocratic family. Your family members, and I'm not very from a very aristocratic family. I'm from a very low family. I don't have any wealth. I'm poor and impoverished. When your family members find out that you're offering your daughter to somebody like me, then they won't accept it. So please, don't say anything like that. You don't really have to offer me anything. I'm simply rendering service to you because rendering service to you is like rendering service to Krishna. I see no difference. So you don't have to feel obliged to give anything to me because I'm doing it, I'm pleasing Krishna by serving you. But the elderly Brahmin was saying, no, but still, it is a nature, I want to do something, I want to offer something in return. And although the young Brahmin was protesting and objecting because he knew it would cause too many disturbances in the elderly Brahmin's life, nonetheless, he finally relented and said, okay, if you're going to make this promise to me to give me your daughter in marriage, then let's make it in front of this deity, Gopal, and let him be a witness. Because I suspect there's going to be some problems when you go home and tell your family that you're going to give your daughter to somebody like me. So let Gopal bear witness. This is a whole story. Maybe some of you already know the ending. But if I tell the whole story, I'll lose the point. But the point is that he was rendering service to the elderly Brahmin because he saw that by serving you, I'm serving Krishna, I'm satisfied. You don't have to give anything in return for my service. That's love. That's a loving relationship. It's a loving relationship. It's an offering of service out of love, trying to please the other person and being satisfied with the opportunity to serve. Not with the expectation of what I'm going to get in return. The opportunity to serve is what satisfies. So Rupa Goswami defines these types of relationships amongst devotees. He says when one offers gifts in charity or accepts charitable gifts, one reveals one's mind in confidence or inquires confidentially or accepts prasadam and offers prasadam, these are six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. And generally when one hears this verse, one thinks, okay, I get the picture. The picture is offering and then taking back. But no, that's not what Rupa Goswami is saying. Rupa Goswami is saying, if somebody offers, the loving exchange is you accept it. That's the loving exchange, because it's offered out of love. How can you refuse? It's offered out of love. You make the loving exchange complete by accepting it. Not because the loving exchange isn't complete by, okay, you offer to me and I'll give something to you. That's not what he's talking about, loving exchange. It just so happens offering and accepting is there in this verse. But the offering is there on one person, the accepting is there on the part of the other person who's accepting. That's the loving exchange. Offering prasadam and accepting prasadam. A loving exchange is already there, because it's done out of love. If that love isn't there, then it's business. It's like a mercantile relationship. Like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. As the saying goes. You know, that's the basis of our relationship. I'll be your friend, you'll be fine. You'll be my friend. But actually, the natural friendly relationships between devotees are based on love. So, therefore, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, the limits of association, he says, the limit for giving up the associative materialist is prescribed in Upadeshamrita as follows, and he quotes this verse, and I have 2 minutes left, and I'm sorry, I don't know what to do. Radha Gopi Balava, I haven't seen them, I haven't had their darshan, I haven't been their artik. There's more, and I'll speak to the curtain opens. One must accept proximity with both bad and good people as one passes his life. This equally applies to householders and renunciants. Proximity must be there. Nevertheless, one should not engage in bad association. So the point he's making, and I'll summarize it in case we don't get to it, is that physical proximity is not association. There's a difference between being in physical proximity of others, of worldly-minded persons, and associating. He says association is there when there is affection. He said, but if one has the physical proximity of worldly-minded people, but exchanges with them only out of duty, if it's just out of duty, then the dangers of being pulled down by bad association are eradicated. But when there's affection, and then affection means that, you know, that when we become attracted to the worldly qualities of the materialists, or we have an affection for the worldly qualities, he'll go on to explain all these things. I'm just simply trying to summarize it. But he gives a quite detailed explanation of these things in Sri Bhakti Loka. So I'll read just a little bit more. He says, giving in charity, accepting charity, revealing one's mind, hearing one's mind, accepting foods and giving foods, if done with love, these are called sangha, or association. Giving some foodstuffs to a hungry person and accepting some charity from a pious man is done out of duty, not out of love. Even if they are materialists, this type of engagement is not considered association. But if they are pure devotees, then such activities are performed out of love. When acts are performed out of love, then it is association. Therefore, giving charity to pure Vaishnavas and accepting items or wealth from them becomes satsanga. Giving charity to a materialist or accepting charity from one, if done out of love, becomes a satsanga. When a materialist approaches you, whatever is required to be done should be done only out of duty, One should not speak confidentially with a materialist. Generally, there is some love involved in confidential speaking. Therefore, it is association. While meeting a materialistic friend, one should speak only what is extremely necessary. At that time, it is better not to exhibit heartfelt love. But if that friend is a proper Vaishnava, then one should accept his association by speaking to him with love. This type of behavior with relatives and friends creates no hostility. There is no association in ordinary talk. One should behave with ordinary people as one externally behaves with a stranger while buying something in the market. The same dealings with a pure devotee of the Lord should be done out of love. If one is obliged to feed hungry people, needy people, and teachers, he should do so as a host dutifully cares for his guest. But there's no need to exhibit love. Care for them, but not out of love. One should feed pure Vaishnavas with love. And when required, accept the remnants given by them with love. If one can behave in this way, while giving in charity, accepting charity, speaking confidentially, hearing confidentially, feeding and accepting food with one's wife, children, servants, maidservants, strangers, and whoever else one meets, there will be no unholy association, only good association. There is no hope of achieving devotion to Krishna until one gives up unholy association in this way. Actually, we're just about finished. A renunciate Vaishnava should accept whatever alms he receives by madhukari or begging at the house of an honest householder with the above-mentioned consideration. He should always remember the difference between gross begging and madhukari. A grihastha Vaishnava should accept prasad, grains and drinks in the house of another grihastha who has pure character. One should always be cautious about taking prasad in the house of a non-devotee and one with bad character. There's no need to speak further about this. Due to their pious activities, those who have developed faith in devotional service have a little intelligence by the mercy of Krishna. Due to that intelligence, they can easily understand the essence of the acharya's instructions. Therefore, only a few words are needed to instruct them. Those who have no pious credits have no faith. Even if they are given volumes of instruction, they will not understand a thing. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has given only a few words of instruction in Sri Upadeshamrita. I just read it completely. Because it's time for it. The curtain hasn't opened. Hare Krishna. All glories to Prabhupada.